I've always loved getting clean. I love showers. I love baths. It's my happy place. Was my happy place.
Today on Prime Flix, Life Inside a Woman's Prison in the new Netflix original series, Orange is the New Black.
My name is Piper Chapman. Time to say goodbye.
I love you so much.
I carried a suitcase of drug money once, 10 years ago.
Do you know about all this?
She failed to mention the lesbian lover who ran an international drug smuggling ring.
It's all good.
You were a lesbian?
At the time.
Welcome to Prime Flix, the 15-minute film discussion podcast. My name is Ed. I am your host, along with my co-host Ben. This episode is a bit of a special episode because it's the first time we've reviewed a television show. Netflix is branching out and is starting to develop new series, including House of Cards, and more recently, Orange is the New Black. Now, if this is your first time listening to the show, I want to give you a little bit of background. This isn't your typical show where we review a film and tell you to go see it. Instead, what we do here is we watch the movie and we assume that people listening have watched the movie and we discuss it. Because of that, you can expect plenty of spoilers. So please, 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 if you don't want anything spoiled, do not listen to this episode until after you've seen the show. You've been warned. That being said, so Ben, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, obviously, here, and maybe we should start with sort of a broad kind of how we both feel about the show and then go into the specifics after that. So what was your overall takeaway from the show?
I was amused, and I, of my own volition, kept watching. We are a one TV, two-person household, so usually what me and my wife Jen watch, we kind of wind up watching at least a little bit together. And I was expecting Jen would kind of warm to it, and I was skeptical of it at first. When I saw the trailers and stuff, I was aware of it before Netflix officially released the season, and I was very skeptical of it. I don't like weeds, and I was the person in the household that kept insisting on, let's watch the next one, let's see what happens, that sort of thing. And it took me about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, to watch the entire series.
Yeah, I did a little bit more of mine in chunks of binge watching. I've watched quite a few of the episodes in the last couple of days, but I agree I liked Weeds when it first came out, and then I really fell off the Weeds bandwagon very quickly, and that was after a couple seasons, so I really did like the first season of Weeds. And this show, I think, well, we can get to kind of talking about its longevity a little bit later, but my initial takeaway was our first plan on this episode was to actually just watch the first three episodes, which is sort of typically what critics do when they review a new TV show. They don't review the entire series, right? Usually, or entire season. So I watched the first one, and to be honest, I really thought that a lot of it seemed like, hey, we're a lot like HBO, look what we can show.
Yeah. You know,
like, we can have a lot of lesbian sex and nudity, and I never thought that I would be the guy saying, you know, less of that. But in some cases, less is more in these types of situations. And I really felt like, oh man, are they just trying to literally try to be HBO in the sense that they're going to really overdo these things? And it really died down, you know, or at least they chose their spots as the season progressed when it came to that kind of stuff. And starting with even just the second episode, when they started to get more in depth about the characters and their backstories and the way that they treated their backstories and the sort of flashbacks, I really did, sort of in that Oz style, I really did really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
So I came away from this wanting to watch the next season, although the ending was spoiled for me by the internet before I could get to it.
Oh no.
But I knew it was coming, obviously. It seemed like the climax. And I should also mention to people listening to this, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, we do talk about stuff in great detail here, so there will likely be lots and lots of spoilers, and you've been warned. So if you don't want to hear them, you can always pause this and come back later. This episode is timeless, so you can...
Evergreen.
Exactly.
I love it.
So, well, let's start with a couple of the... Let's switch it up a bit. You know, we could go into acting first. Let's actually talk about some of the more of the aesthetics of it. So I mentioned that I like the way that they treat the flashbacks, but let's even just start at the beginning. There's actually a lot of talk, strangely enough, as there is just in general about the show on the internet, about the opening title sequence for this show.
Yeah.
So what's your take on the title sequence?
Well, for me, I think I maybe watched the title sequence once all the way through, like the first time I put it on, just to kind of like give it its full weight or whatever. I knew already the cast or the key player, so I wasn't like, oh, Kate Mulgrew is in this or whoever. But sure. I not a big Regina Spektor fan, and sort of the sequence of people's or the inmates' sort of faces or parts of their faces, I was like, okay, it's too long. It's too long. Every HBO and Showtime intro is too long.
Exactly. It struck me as we're going to try to do this in the same style of HBO, who, you know, to their credit, wins many of these opening credit awards for sort of the opening credits too. So Rome, and I think what was Carnival, you know, and The Wire, and
Sopranos,
all of these shows.
And
The Sopranos.
Sopranos
yeah.
is a good opening song. This song, not nearly as good.
Yeah, I don't actually mind Regina Spektor, but I agree. I didn't really like this song. And the faces, while I get the point, are a little bit much. And I wish Netflix would do us a favor and allow you to skip the opening credits the first episode, you know? Because they know you're going to binge watch the whole show.
Right.
So
I mean, they've already built that in. Most of the Netflix players have that thing where they do almost like how TV does, where they'll shrink the one thing and say, up next. And then, you know, kind of you can jump into the next episode really quickly. But yeah, it's painful to watch. I don't know if maybe as much as anything, it's there to pad for a 50-minute runtime, which if this show would ever get picked up in some form of syndication, they chop down to 44 and ship it out.
Sure.
But yeah.
Speaking of the music, music of the title aside, what do you think of the overall soundtrack of the show?
It's been a while, and that was not something that stuck out in my head.
So it's interesting.
Music.
It really did to me. A lot of the songs. So there's a few points in the show, and I'm gonna forget the exact moments, but I know there's like a Tune Yard song in there somewhere.
That might be why I don't familiar with the artist. So.
Yeah. I don't know where I heard them, but I heard that song, and it's a very distinct song. And I wonder, and I haven't got a chance to look this up, but I wonder if these same musical production person on this show is the same one from Weeds, because I also used to think that about Weeds. Weeds would not have much of a soundtrack, but would punctuate certain scenes with really appropriate music.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, the second to last episode, there's actually the title credit, or not title credits, but the end credits have this song that I've never heard. It's something like "There's not going to be a sequel." And it's actually, I like the song. I actually listened through the credits because I really like the song. I don't know the artist, but things like that. And in Weeds, there was actually there was an episode, a specific moment. It's one of the only moments I remember from that show where there was a perfect song punctuating the end of one of the seasons.
Oh, nice.
And they didn't have that here, but there were some moments.
Yeah. I did notice, though, that the characters have still sort of, that's one of their little pieces of baggage and identification from the outside world. Every so often you'll hear characters mentioning their favorite artist or music that they listen to, or there's like the two Latina sisters or mm-hmm. you know, young women who are arguing. One of them likes to listen to reggaeton, and one of them really likes like punk music and stuff. So mm-hmm. I like those kind of beats. It's good character fill-ins.
There's a little appreciation for that, and a little more thought put into them, because that's, you know, what would they talk about all the time? That's going
to
come up.
Yeah, there's a lot of time to talk. Yeah,
exactly. So what about the overall sort of, I don't know, the cinematography any of that kind of stuff? Yeah, what do you think of that?
It's for the most part serviceable. I didn't find it particularly unique. It feels like you said, it's not quite one of the, obviously there's a couple of things people pick on. It's Weeds is kind of part of the legacy of this show as a direct, you know, creative input because of the production, and then also of course you think of Oz. I think Oz was way more stylized and
absolutely.
It looks cheaper because it was shot on video, but or shot on film and transferred to video. But this, you know, just looks like high quality sort of modern production like you'd see on HBO or Showtime. But for the most part, serviceable. There's not a lot of chances. At least they didn't take a lot of chances to be all that inventive. I didn't feel at all like I was in a dream sequence when I wasn't supposed to be, that kind of stuff. It was
sure.
It was just pretty good. They took a couple liberties with the sequence when Piper gets sent to solitary, but
There was a little bit of the I agree with that actually, and I think that's probably you know, everybody's going to talk about this when it comes to the Emmys and that sort of thing, but the true, you know, I might have my own interest in the soundtrack, but the thing that really pulls this together is just such a great ensemble of like good female actors.
Oh yeah.
And also, you know, the supporting cast is just, it's just great. And especially actually I'm a big fan of The Wire, and I enjoy, I don't know his name, but the actor plays Mendez, or Pornstache, as he's known colloquially by the girls.
Right.
He was a character in the second season of The Wire, a somewhat major character. And so there's a little nod or a little connection to HBO there.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And he plays a very different character in that. still a criminal, but in a different way.
I see. Yeah, I called Pornstache, I called him Push Broom. But
Push Broom.
Yeah, nice. I don't know, Pornstache to me, and of course, maybe I'm just trying to be so clever or something, but Pornstache seems a little too on the nose for the nature of his character. But
yeah, I think it is one of my favorite moments is between him and Caputo, where Caputo stops him and says, "Hey, so is this mustache, is that a gay thing now?" and he's like, "No, yeah, he's not gay.
He's like super manly." Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I guess, for me, that's what actually kept much of it going. I don't really enjoy a lot of the soap opera-y story between, you know, her playing her fiancé off of, you know, Laura Prepon's character,
Alex.
Boss. Alex Voss.
Alex Voss, yeah. How are you gonna call it?
I mean, I know that's probably what most people like to see, and, you know, it's a certain component of it, but I do think that there's so many good little moments of the other characters thrown in, you know, like...
Yes.
Crazy Eyes performing Shakespeare to the Scared Straight girls. You know, that sort of stuff is just, that makes it for me. If it was pure just drama and everything else, I wouldn't enjoy the show at all.
You know, actually, Ed, I don't think that opinion is in the minority at all. Throughout people watching Orange is the New Black, as I've kind of been going along with it and reading responses and reactions on Twitter. And it's funny because I can tell when people are watching it because they'll say just like, "I don't care about the main character." And I know exactly what they're watching right now. That's like the popular show. And honestly, 80%, 90% of people, this is a completely unscientific statistic I just imagined,
sure,
do not care for the core story. And
yeah,
the best episodes are the ones that give everybody else time to breathe. In fact, when Piper got sent to solitary, I was like, "Good, leave her there. Let's just do the rest of the story."
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
I agree. Many good actresses in this, yeah.
I've come around a bit on Piper as a character, but I still don't find her the most interesting character. She just sort of always seems, as she's supposed to, vapid and narcissistic and needy and all of that. And,
but she,
you know, my life is so much worse than everyone else, that sort of thing.
But she has kind of sort of a bit of an Andy Dufresne thing going on because she's like, she went to college and stuff, so she's literate. So some of the inmates come to her at certain points for advice or for her intelligence.
College.
Supposedly. Yeah.
That's her nickname among many of the inmates. Yeah.
Yeah. She and Taylor Swift is another one. Yeah.
And Taylor Swift, which is enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah. you know, yeah. So I kind of forgot where my train of thought was going to go here, but I guess the one thing that I do take some issue with is that I think that they've overdone the, "Everybody in here is in here because of bad circumstances." And, you know, obviously everybody in prison is in prison from bad circumstances, but they're all painted. And I know it's the main characters you're following. You're not following every single person in there, but every single one of them did something, you know, if it wasn't sort of a happenstance type thing, did something probably noble. You know, you'd assume, oh, they were horrible people, but they actually, you know, one did something noble for someone else or just took the fall. And that certainly happens, but I think they run the risk of making everybody in prison seem like they're a martyr of some sort.
They were the one in like the wrong, like literally wrong place, wrong time type people.
Exactly. And, you know, that could be true for a large portion of women. And it's certainly not a maximum security prison.
That's a good point.
So it's, you know, it's a different situation. But, you know, it's also the case that I just have a little bit of outside knowledge of this sort of thing because I used to actually work very closely with a research team that worked in prisons. It actually takes a lot more for women to get put in prison than men in our society,
okay.
Meaning that usually they've committed more severe crimes, even at the jail level, to actually be put away. So it's, you know, I don't think that that means they're you know, not going to ever show a character who actually truly is, or do the switch, right? Someone who seems really sweet, and then you find out that they actually were, you know, really, really super horrible in their, you know, crime life or whatever.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with humanizing people in prison because, you know, they are humans.
Yes.
But I just, that trope is getting a little tired for all the characters. You know what I mean?
I didn't really consider it when I was watching it because they parse out the different backstories just enough where I never, going through it the first time, didn't draw that connection. But as soon as you bring it up, you're like, wait a minute. Yeah, they all are kind of like, woe is me types. And I mean,
yeah,
there's a couple of them who are almost literally in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like the yoga instructor,
yep,
of the prison. And she's not really the yoga, yep, instructor, but that's her main, thing that she does.
Yep.
That one. And of course there's the transgender woman. That was kind of an interesting one. And then of course you have, the dynamic duo of Poussey and Tasty, who I,
yes,
think are the best. They're like the,
yes,
they come around in about the third or fourth episode and really start to shine, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. We couldn't get out of here without mentioning them because,
oh my God,
they're both great in their own way. And it's hard for me, if I were to try to pick the sort of standout performers here, it's really difficult,
mm-hmm,
because they all have given such great performances, you know, and some of them don't have any screen time, but when they do, they just like chew up the scenery, you know?
Right.
And so it's one of those, you know, if Netflix is listening, you know, give whoever cast this thing a raise, keep them around for a while,
oh,
because,
yeah,
they've got a talent to spy these things. Even Jason Biggs, who, you know, not a big fan of, he's the perfect guy to play that sort of liberal uptight kind of boyfriend, insecure boyfriend,
right,
in this situation.
Yeah.
So
I really don't, again, that goes back to that core group who I don't particularly care for. I don't find Piper,
yep,
or Jason Biggs's character particularly compelling. And I understand,
yep,
that I believe this is more of a writer thing where it's almost, mm-hmm, it's almost painfully obvious that like even the writers of the thing were like, okay, it's based on this book, so this is the core story, but you ran into so many cool, amazing other things going on. And it's,
yeah,
really, if you know, I guess if you're going to extend this for multiple seasons, you make it less about Piper's months in prison and more about the people that she came to know in the prison. Obviously, that's the way to go.
Sure. And from what I understand, it's already so loosely based on the original source material that it's not going to harm it anymore to take some more liberties with,
oh, yeah,
with it. So,
hope so.
But yeah, it's an interesting show. Really enjoy it. I don't know if we'll make this a regular thing on the podcast because it is a lot more work to prepare for it.
A lot more to chew through.
Netflix has got a great slate of shows so far and more coming soon. So maybe I'll eat my words there and we'll actually do another one. But, you know, there's House of Cards. There's the one no one ever mentions, which I've not seen myself, Hemlock Grove.
Nobody mentions that one. I was like,
yeah,
I was blanking. I was like, there is a third one. Yeah.
Yep. It's kind of a YA, I guess, horror type thing, as far as I understand. So we're not the target demographic.
Oh, so it's shooting for like the Teen Wolf and whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's explicitly that way, but they sort of assumed that would be the demographic. And that's what's actually interesting about this new sort of movement by Netflix, is that they're secretly sort of acquiring a lot of these really niche type shows. So they have a show called like Mako Mermaids, which apparently is like super popular among a lot of teenagers, young teenagers. And they just acquired the rights to all these Scholastic shows like Magic School Bus and Goosebumps. So they're really trying to slowly nail down each of those groups. And they're coming out with a Ricky Gervais show called Derek, which I posted a trailer for on the PrimeFlix page a little while ago, which seems really interesting. And we know that, you know, Ricky Gervais likes to make one or two seasons of something and then go on to something else. So it certainly will be something that is probably not going to stick around too long on Netflix. And that actually kind of brings me to my other point, which we have a little bit of time to talk about. But I was wondering, what is the longevity for a show like this? She has a predetermined sentence, although it may expand now after the end of the first season for her to serve more time. But how long can you string this out and make it still be a compelling show? Do they kind of go the way of the Beatles and get out while the getting's good, or do they string this out for a while? I mean, it's a whole new model with Netflix. It's not typical TV. What do you think?
This is a weird question because, you know, what this is the next thing that Netflix hasn't done. For a while, Netflix hadn't done its own series, and now they've done that multiple times in addition to having picked up Arrested Development, which I didn't think was all that great. The interesting thing will be, because it's so strange to think, it's like, you know, they released it not even a month ago, I believe, and it's already, like, you've already watched all of it. It's done. This isn't like Breaking Bad, where I'm like, I'm super excited for the next episode for the next couple weeks, and then it'll be really, really done. I mean, are they going to even do they have to wait an entire, like, calendar year for the next one? It's such an odd thing, because I feel like already, because they just blow the whole load out at first with the 13 and just go for it, it's like a whole year is a long time to just sit on the season being done. On the other hand, that gives writers and the crew more time, I think, to really hone down to what makes a really good story. So I wasn't really all that invested in what happens next. I thought just even season one was really, really good. I'll check it out. I'm kind of skeptical about where this can go, just because, I mean, unless they start doing the thing where it's like the inmate of the week, which could also become formulaic and boring.
Yeah, and they're going through contract talks with Laura Prepon right now, and the internet's freaking out over her not returning, or she's not on contract for the next season, so she'll return for a few episodes, but they're not certain that they haven't written her into it, but they're filming already, so they're writing as they film, I suppose, and so, you know, it could be, we don't know if they're rewriting or if they're writing, so that could make a big difference, but I'll check it out, I'll continue to watch it. I think that hopefully that they start to ascribe a little bit more to like the AMC model, at least the recent AMC model of having definite ends for shows and kind of planning those out ahead of time. You know, at least with Mad Men and Breaking Bad, there's sort of the 6-season cutoff or whatever, or 7 seasons for Mad Men,
I guess. I think that's a nice model for dramas especially, you know, because it's so hard, especially they're not, like I said, they're not something of the week type stories. There's an ongoing, just a straight through narrative. They're designed, especially with Netflix, they're designed to be watched almost as much as possible right away.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're certainly rewatchable as well, but you won't rewatch them out of order, most likely. Unless you go to the chicken episode. The chicken episode you can watch whenever you want.
But, yes, the chickening was the best episode of the season.
It was, yeah. that's the one. I believe that's episode 5 for everybody out there. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out in sort of a bigger. And it will be also interesting to see if it does get the other treatments, like, does it get into syndication? Does it break out of the Netflix pen? That kind of thing.
Yeah, does it get a movie when Netflix, you know, goes more heavily into trying to actually produce feature films?
Yeah.
It's possible. So it'll be interesting to watch, and we will certainly keep an eye on it. So if you have anything, and I'm sure you do, you'd like to say about the Orange is the New Black, you can, you know, give us an email at feedback@primeflixpod.com, which is our new fancy URL, because primeflix.com would cost too much money to buy, and but we're a podcast, so that works. If you want to comment specifically on this show, you can do so on Twitter @primeflix, or you can do so at the show page for this, which will be primeflixpod.com/OITNB. Orange is the New Black, which is a lot shorter than typing the whole thing out. So, and it's also a pretty active hashtag on Twitter if you're interested in following what people have to say about the show. So thanks for joining us for another week. And until next time, happy streaming.